Hello, whoever's listening to this. My name is Lindsay Weaver. I'm currently hiding in a vent. It is incredibly cramped and pitch black. My phone is the only source of light, and I cannot see very far. I'm only aware of one exit. I would specify my location further, since a vent is pretty vague, but I don't really know where I am. It's a house. I know that much, but I don't... Shit. I can hear it. Just outside. But I don't think it knows I'm here yet. It will find me. Sooner or later. But I have some time until then. So, I'm recording. This is a weird story, and it is my duty as a reporter, or a soon-to-be reporter, or rather a would-have-soon-been reporter, to document weird stories. To share them with the public. So, I'm recording. I'm unsure if it even matters, to tell you the truth. I don't know how anyone will receive this. They probably won't. There is probably no one listening to this. I'm probably just talking to myself. I guess I just feel like I need to tell someone. I'm so alone. So scared. I need to talk to someone, anyone. To tell someone, you know? God. Sorry. If this reaches home, I wonder if it will reach anyone I know. Well, if you're listening, I just want to tell my parents and friends, I love you all. Georgia, if you're listening to this, I just want to say, I'm sorry. I did all the shit you told me not to, and now look at me. You were right. I'm sorry. I'm just sorry, okay? Really. Well, anyway. Whoever you are, unknown listener, whenever you find this, perhaps thousands of years in the future, or maybe just a day after my death. If you are anyone at all, and I'm not just talking to myself. Do you want to hear a story? It begins 7 years ago, when I was still in middle school. It begins as a normal story, one almost anyone, almost anywhere could have experienced. It begins with the arrival of the organist's son. I noticed this soon as he stepped into the room. It was just before summer break, and the classroom was stuffy and hot, air filled with drowsiness and sweat. I was not working particularly hard at my algebra to begin with, so anyone walking in at that moment would probably have received my full attention. But this boy intrigued me more than most. I think it was the way he was moving that caught my eye. There was something odd about it, something wrong. His shoulders were hunched and stiff, fists clenched tightly at his side. His head bowed toward the ground, long black hair covering his eyes. Though I could not see his facial expression, there was something about his stance that just didn't belong in the middle of a class, like he was prepared for an entirely different scenario than this one. He looked ready to leap into action, to flee or fight. I couldn't tell which. That frightened me a bit. But interested me way more. The boy stopped in the middle of the classroom, looking around, seemingly unsure of what to do next. Several other students had noticed him and were murmuring among themselves, assessing the newcomer with ruthless curiosity. The teacher, awoken from his nap in the corner by the whispers, finally noticed the boy and introduced the transfer student. Flynn Southard. In the years to come, that name would remain in my mind, a part of my past I was, for whatever reason, unable to forget. Flynn Southard. I remember. When he said it, Mr. Brady reacted. Southard? Like that organist, he said, or something along those lines. Yes, that's my dad, the boy responded, head still hanging low. Oh, I loved his music, Mr. Brady said, waving his arms around to show his unusual excitement. I haven't heard about him in a while, though. What is he up to these days? The boy didn't answer. He just shrugged noncommittally, staring down at the ground perhaps a little harder than before. That first break after math class was when I started my investigation. Worth mentioning here is perhaps my, at the time, largest passion. Detective stories. I adored those stories when I was a kid. I wasn't picky about what kind. Paranormal, children's, or the ones about gruesome murders that I was not supposed to read. I devoured them all. Of course, it was my dream to actually get to solve a case myself. I was certain that I would be a master detective if only I got the chance to prove myself. Problem was, I had no case. Finding one was my top priority. So, whenever I saw something weird, I investigated it. And Flynn Southard was, in my book, definitely weird. So, as soon as class was over, I grabbed Georgia and pulled her aside. My assistant detective did not seem quite as intrigued as I was, but after some convincing, she agreed to join me in my investigating. So we set out, searching for the new kid. We found him standing by the swing set. I don't think I approached him very well. I think I said something like, "Your name was Flynn Southard, right?" He gave me a brief glance before returning to studying his shoes. After a while, he answered, though. "Yes," he spoke quietly. "So, where did you live before? Why did you move here? It's pretty late in the term for transfer, so..." "Ow," I said, interrupted by Georgia stealthily kicking my shin. She had good reason. I may have wanted to be a detective, but there's a good reason I'm not one. The boy, Flynn, looked at us skeptically. "We don't mean to intrude," Georgia said with an apologetic smile. "But yeah, we don't get a lot of transfers, so we were curious. I'm Georgia, and this is Lindsay." "Oh, okay. I'm Flynn. Nice to..." he began, voice barely a whisper. But before he could end the sentence, something in him seemed to switch. Suddenly, he jerked and spun around, nearly hitting Georgia square in the face. "Hey!" she exclaimed, taking a step back and eyeing him with anger. He didn't react to that. I don't think he heard it at all, because his face... it was filled not with fear, but pure, abject horror. His eyes looked up, seemingly focused on something, even though there was nothing there. Only a patch of hot summer air like any other. Then, in just a second, his face calmed, stiffening into an indifferent mask. And he turned around again and walked away without another word. The next time I confronted him, I was alone. School had ended, but I had stuck around, waiting impatiently for the suspect to finally exit the building.
Georgia had waited with me at the start. But as time ticked by, she grew bored of just standing there, and despite my protests, she left. So, it was just me, standing in the corner of an emptying schoolyard, keeping a watchful eye on the door. I stood like that for a long time before he appeared. The sun was getting low, and the yard had emptied out completely. A crow pecking at something in the sandbox was the only other living thing around, and I was starting to give up hope entirely. But then I spotted him, walking in his odd way toward the gate. Finally. Determined, I walked toward him. He stopped when he saw me approaching. "What do you want?" he said, suspicion written all over his face. I decided to cut to the chase. Again, great detective. "What's your deal?" "My deal? You're not normal, right?" At that he looked up, and for the first time his eyes truly focused on me. He was staring directly into my eyes as he responded, his voice urgent and hushed. He said just 5 words. They were spoken as though they were the most important thing he had ever said. "Can you see it too?" He paused, hope on his face turning to disappointment as he saw the confusion on mine. And just like last time, he left before I had a chance to respond. This time he ran. Flynn didn't show up to school the next day, nor the one after that. He never returned at all, and although he was the subject for a lot of gossip at the start, he was soon forgotten. But not by me. His eyes, as they looked at me with such expectation, filled with hope and fear, was something I could never forget. I only told one person about our exchange, and that was Georgia. As per usual, she was less interested than I was, told me to forget it. And I tried, I did. But it stuck with me, my encounter with the organist's son. It was 2 weeks ago. I had been finishing up an assignment at a nearby cafe, and I was heading home. It had gotten pretty late, so I was alone at the bus stop. A few crystals of snow were falling lazily toward the pavement, glistening in the sharp glow of the street lamp, the only light in a moonless night. An eerie silence lingered. I would have texted someone, but my phone was low on batteries and I really didn't want it to die. Instead, I shivered and tucked my hands into my jacket, willing my bus to hurry. That's when I saw him. There was a man staggering out from an alleyway, coming toward me. He was still a while away, but I could already smell him, a putrid stench of alcohol that seemed misplaced in the crisp winter night. He wasn't walking very fast, or very straight for that matter, and I prayed to any deities willing to listen that he was only passing by. They didn't seem to be listening, though, because the man stopped next to me, accosting me with his nasty odor. He looked as dreadful as he smelled, long blonde hair shaggy and knotted, and what must have been weeks worth of stubble on his red face, but he seemed significantly younger than I had expected. Though it was winter, he wasn't wearing a jacket. He took a swig from the not-quite-empty bottle in his hand and shot me a glance. "What you looking at?" He raised his chin and stared into my eyes, and my heart stopped. I recognized those eyes, that face. I knew who this was. Flynn Southard. The organist's son. The Organist's Son. Episode 1. Faded Meetings.